This is Grace Wong Lynch from Hoppa Mama, and today I'm talking to my friend Dorcas Cheng Tozen, who is an award-winning writer and Inc. columnist. And the reason I'm talking to her today is because she has a new book out called Start, Love, Repeat: How to Stay in Love with Your Entrepreneur in a Crazy Startup World. Thanks for talking with me today, Dorcas.
Thanks for talking with me, Grace. It's great to be here.
Would you start off by explaining what your book is about?
Sure. So this book is meant to be a guidebook for entrepreneurs and their spouses who struggle a lot with figuring out how do they balance their professional ambitions with maintaining a healthy marriage and family life. But really, my hope is that it's for anyone who has those questions of what work-life balance can look like.
Yeah. So you have a really interesting and very Silicon Valley kind of a life. Would you explain a little bit about what you do for work, what your husband does for work, and how that all fits together?
Sure. So my background is actually in the nonprofit sector. I worked there for about a decade, and that career got a little bit derailed because of my husband's career. So we met at Stanford for undergrad, and then he went back to get his MBA. And after doing that, he started a company with a few classmates called D-Light. They make solar products for families that don't have electricity in developing countries. And because of the work of D-Light, we actually moved overseas together in 2008 to China. And at that point, I had to leave my job. I joined his company and we worked together. And then I totally burned out because it was just such an intensive experience. But because of the work that he's been doing, that was the inspiration for this book, because it has really turned our lives upside down in kind of crazy ways.
Maybe we can start by talking a little bit about your experience in China, because I think that in many ways seems to be kind of the birthplace of this whole idea. I know you've written about your experience living in China and as a Chinese American, and your husband is not Chinese American. Can you describe that dynamic?
Yeah, it was really tricky, and it was something that we totally did not anticipate when we were moving. I think to some extent I was really naive, and I assumed that because I'm Chinese American, it would be easier for me to fit in. We moved to a city in China called Shenzhen, which is a major manufacturing hub. So that's why we were there, was to build up manufacturing operations for the company. And it ended up being professionally very, very difficult in terms of us working like 15-hour days, 7 days a week, having no social life, not doing anything else except for work. But personally, it was also extraordinarily challenging because we were in a place where the locals didn't have as much exposure to people from other countries, and they could not fit me into a category because I looked Chinese to them, but my Mandarin was awful. My family actually speaks Cantonese, so I barely spoke any Mandarin. I didn't know the customs. I didn't know how I was supposed to be operating in China, what I was supposed to do, how to do anything. And so the locals got very, very frustrated with me on a regular basis. And so I got yelled at by taxi drivers and people serving us in restaurants and salespeople and just random people on the street would get angry with me. And enduring that kind of treatment day in and day out, it really wore me down. And I think that contributed a lot to the burnout that ended up happening to me.
And that is not something that you would have chosen to do, to move to China, had it not been for your husband's startup?
Well, again, at the time, because I didn't know what I was getting into, I was excited to go. And then after being there for a while, we realized that this was just not a sustainable way of life, both professionally and personally. And so we ended up moving to Hong Kong after about a year and a half. And then I left the company as well. And so we were living in Hong Kong. My husband, Ned, was continuing to commute into Shenzhen. And that was sort of a compromise solution that we were able to find, where he could keep working, but I could live in a place that was healthier for me and gave me options in terms of community and seeking help and looking into other career things.
Yeah, it sounds like that was a really big turning point for you. I read that part in your book where you describe how it was kind of a sacrifice for your husband, Ned, to make that decision to move to Hong Kong instead of staying in China itself, where most of the businesses are and that.
Yeah, it was really difficult. It was a moment where we felt like what he needed, which was to stay in China to manage the business, and what I needed, which was really to go home back to the US, they were completely incompatible. And so we went round and round on this and didn't really know what to do for a long time. But Ned actually was the driver of coming up with the idea for moving to Hong Kong, making it possible. So even though in some ways you could say it was a sacrifice for me to stay overseas, he did a lot of stuff, even with the business, to make it possible in terms of hiring other people to take over my responsibilities, opening an office in Hong Kong, just so, you know, we had a reason to be there, essentially. And there were all these ways in which I don't think you would consider these the typical romantic gestures that spouses do. But for me, I really felt like this was Ned's expression of love for me, that he was doing all of these things, trying to bend over backwards to, you know, still be able to pursue the company that he was building, that he really believed in and that I believed in as well. But he was showing me how much he wanted me to be well and how important that was to him, because of taking all these actions that really he didn't have to do, but he did it for me.
Yeah, and ultimately, I think those kind of things are the biggest gestures that a spouse can do, when they make really practical decisions that help their partner, you know, rather than flowers or, you know, a big vacation or something like that. I think that those choices in life really go a long way, don't they?
Yeah, I really felt like Ned saw me during that season of life. He really recognized, maybe even better than I did, because I was having such a hard time. He recognized what it was that I really needed and how I could get better. And so that, I think, was a very pivotal moment in our relationship, and also in how we were figuring out how to navigate our marriage with his business, in terms of, you know, we had to apply the same kind of creativity and innovation that he brings to his business. We had to apply that to our relationship and our family life and figure out a different kind of solution that, you know, was not the conventional one, that it was like a third way. And that ended up working out really well for us.